that I missed a really great party, which makes me sad. But I just wanted to take a second to thank those who have the spiritual gift of planning things and cooking things that make life sweeter. Amen. So let's pray one more time before we begin. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who has revealed yourself to us. And we thank you that we have your word as that revelation. Lord, help us now to dig deep into your word. Help it to change us into what you want us to be. What we are not, make us. What you want us to do, equip us to do. Lord, change hearts this morning through your word and by your spirit. And we bless you and thank you for it. Amen. So this morning we are in Psalm 121. And moving through the Psalms, it's been an interesting journey. I've enjoyed it a lot. Digging into each one of these, we see all these different aspects of the Psalms, which are the Bible's prayer book or song book, if you will. A lot of the Psalms were designed to be read or sung in public worship, and indeed in many churches today, especially in Scotland, they do sing Psalms. So this Psalm today, it has to do with worship, but it also has to do with travel, if you will. Because as you can see at the top of the psalm, the title is My Help Comes from the Lord, but below that, the subtitle is A Song of Ascents. Ascent means to climb something. And so what they mean here, we think, is that they're talking about, this is a song that travelers, pilgrims, excuse me, who are traveling to Jerusalem for worship would sing, because Jerusalem's up on a hill and you can see it for miles around as you're traveling to it. And so people would ascend, they would climb this hill to go worship God in the temple. And so when you see in your Bible, as this section of the Psalms is, they're called songs of ascent. And so that's what people are doing. They're singing this as they're traveling to Jerusalem to worship. But the trip to Jerusalem, the journey, indeed the journey anywhere in biblical times, they were perilous. It was dangerous to travel. People usually did it up until recently in groups. They traveled together so they would not be attacked by bandits and robbed. Maybe killed, who knows, or attacked by animals. So people making these journeys faced a lot of dangers from the weather, the trail itself. It could be treacherous. Again, as I said, there could be robbers, bandits, who knows. And it really, in some ways, is a picture of our lives. As we travel through our lives, we face many frightening things. We face things that are just downright dangerous, things that are alarming, distressing, etc. And so we have to ask this morning, where does our help come from? Where does your help come from? Is it depending on the Lord, or is it depending on yourself? We may think we have friends we can depend on. Okay. Got that worked out. Maybe we depend on family when things get tough. Maybe today you're just depending on your own grit, your own spirit, your own strength, your own smarts. Maybe today you're hiding behind a wall of self-defense. Maybe that's where you feel safe. Put up walls and that's your safe place. But this psalm calls us clearly to depend on God for our protection, and for, as the psalm puts it, our keeping, to keep us. And that is really what we want to show is the best and really only sure protection. Because we can try to depend on ourselves, we can try to depend on other people, but we are likely, indeed, almost inevitable, it is almost inevitable that we will mess this up. And sadly, sometimes the people we depend on, the institutions we look to protect us, don't. They fail at this, or they're downright the opposite, and they become the dangerous thing in our lives. All right, verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Asks the psalmist. Where does my help come from? So, as we said, these people are likely traveling to Jerusalem, singing this song, a dangerous journey, like the dangerous journey of life can be. So who are they depending on? Well, the psalmist offers us a protector here who can keep us going through anything, anywhere, anyhow. And no changes, the nice part is no changes to our life or what's going on in the world will alter or take away God's protection. And so that's what makes it so unique. It is why God tells his people so often in the Bible, fear not. And again, when you read scripture, these people are facing some very scary things. Pharaoh's armies chasing you, that's really scary. Going into the promised land where people are all look like NBA stars with spears and armor, that's scary. So many things, so many places, and the Lord is telling his people, fear not, in the face of things that are really, really scary. And so why can he do that? Because he's telling them they can have perfect confidence and faith in him. Why is that? Because my help comes from the Lord. Where does the psalmist answer this question? How does the psalmist answer this question? From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Verse 2. Who made heaven and earth? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. Because what this person is now asserting, what our writer is now asserting, is that help comes from the Lord. But not only that, the Lord who, remember, created everything. The hills they're looking at, the bandits behind the rock, everybody. Philistines, Egyptians, Syrians, whoever it is. All of it, the heaven and the earth. And when you are one of the Lord's people, you are one of God's people, help comes from the Lord God. Now, it's interesting to me, and not in kind of a nice way that things are interesting, that when people are, something really scary happens, like you have a near-miss car accident, somebody cuts you off, whatever it is, something scary happens, what comes out of people's mouth? Even people who are lost, who don't have faith in Jesus Christ, prayer pops out of their mouth. Oh, God! Yeah, exactly. That may be one of the only times they say the name of Jesus. Because I think even people who are lost know who's in charge. They know who's in charge because he created everything. There is nothing, no place, no person, no thing that can harm his people. So the question is, do you want to be one of those people who has to have prayer pop out of you when you're shaken up or squeezed? Or do you want to be a person with faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, who every day can walk with confidence, no matter what's happening? Amen. Confidence and peace. Because here's the thing. All the people we depend on, or the things we depend on in this world, will fail us one way or the other. They'll either be just material things that can't do anything for our souls. Even the best people in the world eventually will age, eventually will pass away. And in that sense, they can't be there for us forever. But the Lord God is holy. He's set apart from everything he created, that is. He's omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. He's omniscient, which is just a big word for he knows everything. But here's the thing. All those things by themselves, they might seem pretty scary on their own, right? I'm supposed to get help from God. He sounds like a pretty big deal himself. But here's the thing. He's kind. He's loving. He's merciful. And that's the wonderful part. The creator of heaven and earth is kind and good and merciful. Slow to anger, steadfast, abounding in love. But here's the thing, as I said, because God created everything, God can work all things, all circumstances for the good of his people. Romans 8:28, one of the best verses in the Bible, I would say. All things work for good to those who have faith in God. But I can hear some people say, wait a second. What about the bad things that happen? Okay? Look, bad things happen to people who believe in God too. Bad things happen all over. Are you telling me that God isn't somehow helpless to deal with these things? Or sometimes he's not there because he missed something bad that happened? Or are you just telling me that in spite of what he says, God doesn't care all the time? But I want you to consider, if you have that objection, that God did not introduce evil into his creation, which he said, as we heard this morning, is very good, was very good. Satan and fallen humans sinned and introduced evil and death into the world. So the objection continues. So you're telling me God didn't stop the sin there and the evil? The answer is no, because as far as we know from the Bible, and this is God's revelation to us, this is what God told us about his will and what he thinks, he has chosen to give sinful people time to repent, time to change their minds. That's what repent means. It means a U-turn in your life. U-turn in your mind, U-turn in your life. 180. And come back to him. I mean, I think about even Cain. You remember the story of Cain and Abel, the first murder in the world. Cain rises up, he slays his brother Abel, he's jealous of Abel's relationship with God. And the Lord doesn't slay Cain right there. That's the penalty for murder, is sin, is death. But he sends Cain away into exile. And we're never told. Cain likely never came to a saving knowledge of God. But the Lord gave him time. Cain goes away, he gets married, has kids, builds a whole civilization. All those people had time to come back to the Lord. And hopefully some of them did. We're not told that. But he has provided the grace, the time you have in your life without God. God is giving you that time to hear his word, understand his word, take that word into your heart, let the Spirit change you and bring you back to God. All right. In fact, God has a better plan for his people than just saving him from trouble in this world. Ephesians 2:1, beginning in verse 1. But God, being rich in mercy, because of with the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, right? We're God's enemies. before faith in Christ, even though while we were still dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I have to say, this sounds like a way better deal than just getting saved from things in this world. This sounds like a bigger plan is happening here. So I'm not suggesting to you this morning that you come to the Lord in faith just to get out of trouble in this life or have peace in this life. I'm suggesting to you that you will have peace forever, because that's what our psalm tells us. God is so powerful and all-knowing that he is working all things in this world, even the evil things that people do, he will use to accomplish his good purpose. And that sounds like a pretty good purpose to me, to be raised up with Christ in the heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Genesis 50:20. Joseph tells his brothers who had him kidnapped and sold into slavery. Joseph ends up becoming Pharaoh's right-hand man, in charge of all the grain, and when a famine comes, his brothers are forced to come to Egypt to get food. They don't recognize Joseph. He's dressed up like an Egyptian. But when they finally do, they're afraid. They're afraid that their brother's going to take revenge. But you know, Joseph takes the bigger view, and he says, "You meant what you did for evil, but the Lord worked all of it out for good. To feed millions of people, he not only saved Joseph from his troubles, took him through them all, but put him in a position where he could feed millions of people." So if we suffer in this life and we face death, we must first of all not miss our part, people's part, in bringing that evil into the world. But we must never miss the part that God is not surprised by evil. He's not helpless when evil happens. He takes even the evil and turns it to his good purpose, which is, I think, even more amazing. To give people time to repent, time for that faith in Christ, to get that faith in Christ. It's a wonderful plan. It takes everything that we make so black and white and just makes it a beautiful tapestry. All right. Even Jesus told his disciples not to fear the people of the world, but rather have a healthy fear and respect for God. A fear of God is a healthy thing to have. Fear of God's judgment and a confidence in his love and care. Matthew 10:28, "And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him," said Jesus, "who can destroy both soul and body. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." Even the sparrows, every movement of the sparrows is controlled by God. "But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." And sometimes when I see even things like fall leaves swirling around by the wind, I think that's the Lord's getting all those leaves exactly where he wants them. Hopefully not in my yard, but exactly where he wants them. Blow that way. Anyway, but it's true. Even a sparrow hopping on the ground, wherever they go, God's in control of that. All right. That may seem like a long discourse, but back to our psalm. Verse 3. "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." So God will not let the feet of his people slip. And we don't just mean in terms of like in the bathroom or in an icy parking lot, although the Lord covers that. We mean to say that the Lord will not let us slip and fall, even on the treacherous ground of this world. And it can be full of slippery places. As we walk through our life, he will not let us slip into sin or evil or danger. Keep feet steady. And again, the people who have unsteady feet understand what a blessing it is to feel steady. But there's also never a time when God is not protecting or guarding his people. 24/7 is a term God invented. He does not need to sleep. He's not a created creature, a thing that gets tired. And he knows all that's happening. The word keep here, he who keeps you will not slumber. It means to guard closely and protect well. Think of it as the old-fashioned version was a keep. A keep was a thing in Old English that was the inner part of a castle. Not the whole castle, but the inner, strongest, safest part of a castle was called the keep. So when we're looking at the word keep here, that's what it means. The Lord is guarding well and closely. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So we see here repeated again that the Lord doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber. And when you see things repeated in Hebrew poetry, whenever you see that, it equals emphasis. This is something important that the light's blinking on, right? Get this part. It's really important. And the Lord really wants you to know that this is what's happening. But notice here he talks about now the Lord is keeping Israel. And true Israel is the church. True children of Abraham is us. So in New Testament times, we read Israel, we can take those promises on because we are true children of Abraham. So now the Lord is talking about, the psalmist is talking about the Lord keeping the whole church. And it is in the church together that we are under his watchful eye in a special way. And together in the church, we help each other and protect each other from error, from slipping, and things like that, from becoming discouraged. And so the Lord God has a special relationship to Israel, true Israel, his church. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is a shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Again, excuse me, we see repeated here, the Lord is our keeper, the keeper of his people. And now, excuse me, we get the term shade on our right hand. So what does that mean? It's not the modern usage of throwing shade on people. No, the Lord, it's meant to show the Lord's care in helping us get through tough places. So as you can imagine, the sun in the Middle East is very hot and actually does feel like it's striking you. Ditto the moon at night. It can be very cold in the desert. But also our verses here in verse 6 are meant to tell us that the Lord covers every situation. 24/7, as we said, right? From the sun to the moon, the Lord is guarding and keeping us. But also providing loving care and shading our right hand. Why just our right hand? He wants the left to be sunburned? No. What he's talking about here, the right hand in the Bible and traditionally is the hand of work. For most of us, if you're not a southpaw like my mother, the right hand is the hand we do work with. And so all of our work, all that we're doing for the Lord, everything we have to do will be covered and protected from both natural and spiritual trouble. Even if we experience trouble, the Lord God will soothe our souls. calm us, give us peace, a peace that we are told passes all understanding. And it's why you see believing churches after a hurricane, right? The whole place is leveled. It looks like pickup sticks, just a mess. Pastor, someone standing out in front with a smile on their face, saying, thank God, everybody's okay. We're going to rebuild this building. Because what do they know? They know what we're talking about in our psalm. The Lord is keeping what's really important to them, just as he promised. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. There it is. He's guarding what's important. His people, our lives are hidden with Christ. Colossians 2:3. Those lives, the lives of believers, what's really important, our souls. You can see and feel this protection in a real way. It's more than just making things all right in your life. It makes them truly good. And I love this verse, kept from all evil. All evil. And it means all. It means no real damage will happen to us, who we really are, our souls. And I think about this now that I'm a little bit older. Not old, I would say, but have some life experience. It occurred to me, I'm probably at the Lord's prompting, of all the evil things that did not happen to me. Delivered from evil. Protected from evil. You think about all the things that could have happened to you. He knew. He guarded me. He guided me. Even as we said, as I was guilty of trespasses and sins. And so we need to be thankful for that. Not just the evil we face today, but evil that could have happened to us on the way here. All right, finally, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. What a wonderful promise. Going and coming. So coming into the world in birth, going out of it in death, it doesn't matter. Every day, getting up for work, get in the car, you go, you come back, the Lord protects you. What we have here again, going out and coming in, is meant to encompass all of life. So when we see that, those opposites, going out, coming in, sun, moon, the Hebrew poetry is meaning to tell us everything, everywhere, all the time. Forever. What a promise. God will protect what matters in you if you are his forever. God will bring his people, his church, home to himself after our journey, safely home, back to him in love and peace forever. So, if you are his and you are depending on him, that's wonderful. But if you're depending on something else or yourself to get you through life's troubles, you might think you have it sorted out now. Things are pretty okay, maybe. Got it under control. But you know, I know, we all know, that as we go through this life, things will change. Amen. And you will face things that will make your feet slip. You will face things that will make you afraid. And you will need a protector to guard you and keep you, who can take care of those things and take care of what really matters through this journey in life. And God offers you his love and protection, freedom from sin, the bondage of sin, a chance to repent, to give your life to him, and he will be your keeper. Amen. Not just to get you through life, but to get you back to him, back where people really belong with their God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your gift to this world. your Son Jesus Christ, who made a way that the Old Testament law couldn't do. We can't keep ourselves. We can't guard ourselves. As much as we try to be brave and strong, we might even think we're doing it for a little while. We can't even stand without you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, that when we sin, judgment isn't immediate. You give us time, you give us grace, you give us mercy to come back to you. Lord, I pray that those of us who know you, that we don't fear, that we rely on your protection and your keeping as we go. And Lord, those who don't know you, I pray today that if trouble has been sent in their lives, if their sense of security has been shaken, Lord, let it be that their eyes will turn to you as something really secure and really true. Amen.